We're turning to the psalm that our brother Gordon read for us just a few minutes ago, Psalm number 80. Psalm number 80. And I want simply to draw your attention to three words in verse 14. Words which I believe should be impressed upon all our hearts, and very especially at this time when evil seems to be raising its ugly head. And we need to pray that the Lord will visit us. And the last three words of the verse say, "Visit this vine." And of course, this is a prayer of the psalmist and the longing of his heart for the Lord to come and to visit him and to visit the Lord's vine. Now, before we get into the message, we'll just take a moment to seek the Lord's help and to pray for God's blessing to be upon us. Our gracious God and loving Father, we give thee thanks for an open Bible. We thank thee for civil and religious liberty. We bless thee, O God, for our glorious gospel heritage. And we can truly say that the lines have fallen unto us in pleasant places. We have a goodly heritage. We thank thee for our forefathers who went through fire and water and even martyrdom to hand down to succeeding generations this glorious privilege of having the Word of God and being able to handle it without fear or favor. And so, Father, we bless thee for the blessings of salvation. For we thank thee for the precious Word of God. Thank thee, O God, for all that thou hast done for us. And truly, as we count our blessings, they are more than can be numbered. And we say, to God be the glory, great things he hath done. So, Lord, visit us now. O Lord, visit us here today. Lord, just don't only visit us, but permanently remain with us and abide with us. And may we be conscious that thou art here. And grant, O God, that we will come humbly before thy feet, fall down there in surrender as we afresh give ourselves wholly and entirely over unto the Lord. So, Lord, come amongst us now and pour out thy Spirit. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. The book of Psalms is a tremendous book. It is like an immense mountain range. Each psalm is as a peak in itself, vying with its neighboring psalm for attention. And some psalms, like the Shepherd's Psalm, the 23rd, stand out for us because of its memorable content, a psalm that has been a comfort in sorrow and a time of joy in prosperity. And then we have the monumental Psalm 119 that focuses our attention on God's Word in every one of its 176 verses. There's a reference to the Word of God in various ways. What a psalm, and what psalms. And of course, all the psalms. Everybody has their own favorite, and that one to which they turn in times of need. All the psalms are inspired by God, but not all are as prominent as those that we have mentioned and others. Each one, if time is taken to look at it closely, is a veritable mine of spiritual wealth. And as it has been said, the book of Psalms is the anatomy of the soul, so that no matter what our need may be, there is always some bright gem to help us onward and upward and heavenward. And there's something in the Psalms for an unbeliever, a man or a woman unsaved, because the psalmist said, "Out of the depths unto the Lord I cried, and he heard my cry, and brought me up out of the horrible pit, and set me upon a rock." And dear sinner friend in this meeting house this morning, there's hope for you. As the light of God's truth shines on your pathway, lightening it up and showing you what you ought to do. Do it this morning. Come as a dear sinner and a guilty sinner to Jesus Christ. And praise God, he'll save you and he'll make you a new creature in Christ. Backslider, he's able to meet your need too. The psalmist often cried, "Lord, restore unto me the joy of my salvation." That's what the psalmist said in Psalm 51. He had lost out with God. He had gone astray in his foolishness. And the world came in and sin reigned for a season. But God restored him. And again, he was able to speak of and to enjoy the joy of the Lord in his life. And friend, that can happen to you today. Not tomorrow. Yes, it can happen tomorrow too. But it can happen now. You don't have to wait. Don't put it off. Today is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. And we come to Psalm 80. And here we have a heartfelt prayer for revival. And, of course, this psalm is very pertinent for us today. Let us focus on the three words then, as I said. Those three words that distill this prayer and conclude verse 14. Visit this vine. Let's focus on that this morning. Let's think about it. Let's concentrate upon it. There are three main applications for this term. Three main applications about this vine spoken of here. The first one, obviously, is to Israel. We're told in verse 8 that the vine was brought out of Egypt. You look at verse 8. And that's a reference to Israel. Israel were in bondage in Egypt for 430 years. That's a long time. Under the hardship of Egyptian taskmasters, Pharaoh was their master, and he drove them and drove them and smote them and was wicked towards them. And they were under the terror of Egyptian rule for all that period of time. And God delivered them and brought his vine out of Egypt. Thank God. There's a personal application there too. For we can all remember a time when we were under the bondage of Satan. We were slaves to sin. We were those who were unrighteous and unsaved. We were in our sins up to the eyeballs. But the Lord came and he delivered us and brought us into his vineyard and planted us, and we are now his vine. He brought us out of our Egyptian bondage into the land of Canaan, into the place of plenty, into the enjoyment of his presence, for he promised to go with us and never to leave us. What a God, what a Savior, and what a transformation. And if that hasn't happened to you as yet, praise God, it can happen today. May this be the day of your deliverance from your bondage to sin, when the chains will be broken and you'll be a new creature in Christ Jesus. That is through faith in the Son of God, acceptance of his finished work, and washing in his precious blood, knowing that that blood shall never lose its power. No doubt this is a reference to the fact that the nation of Israel, after hundreds of years in Egypt, was brought out of that land in the mighty Exodus of the Old Testament scriptures. And the second application to these words concern the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 15, and the opening verses of that chapter, Jesus said, "I am the true vine, ye are the branches." And the Lord Jesus is God's promised Messiah. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 2, when Joseph and Mary were told to take their son Jesus into Egypt because Herod was about to kill all the children, the male boys under 2 years of age. And Joseph and Mary saddled their ass and went down into Egypt until Herod had died and the danger was over. And then God brought them back up again out of Egypt, back into Israel. And out of Egypt, the Bible says, "Have I called my son?" And so it's a reference to the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, our beautiful Savior, the one who redeemed us by his shedding of his blood. And then, there in the third place, we can say that this application is to the Church of Jesus Christ. It's to the Church of Jesus Christ. That means it's to individuals like you and me. Applies to you. Applies to me. It is to congregations like the one you have here, very appropriately so, and to denominations like our own denomination, the Free Presbyterian Church. The psalmist speaks of saving the vine. The psalmist speaks of securing the vine. The psalmist speaks of strengthening the vine. And the psalmist speaks of spreading the vine. The Lord has done all that for this denomination. He has done it perhaps for you as a congregation. And he has done it for you as an individual Christian. He has saved you, securing you, strengthening you, and spreading your testimony and your witness. And he's done that for the congregation and for our denomination. The Free Presbyterian Church came into being in 1951 in Crossgar, as we all know. We believe undoubtedly that this was the work of God, and its continuation to this day is evidence of God's hand upon it. I believe that with all my heart. And the vine in the psalm, we're told in verse 9, it spread until it filled the land. You notice that? It spread until it filled the land. Now, this has also been true of the Free Presbyterian Church. We're thinking not of others today, but our own selves, our own denomination. We can pray that God would speak to others and revive them, but we need revival. I need it, and you need it, and we all need the personal touch of God. We can think of the need that's around us and the needs of others, but let's come and deal personally with God today and pray that God will come and visit this vine, not other vines, but this one. And then when he has visited this vine, he will reach out to other vines. And that's how God works. God wants people who are dedicated to himself, who are committed to the cause. He wants those who are surrendered to Christ. He wants those who are his and who belong to him, and they acknowledge that, and they want to crown him Lord of life. Are you going to do that today? Ask the Lord to visit you. We thank God for his precious word, and he's able to do that. So the vine in the psalm spread, according to verse 9 of the psalm. And as I said, this is true of our denomination, founded in 1951. And today in Northern Ireland, every part of this land is within no more than 20 miles from another congregation of Free Presbyterians. And in a lot of areas, a lot less distance between them. If you live where I live, you will discover at least a dozen Free Presbyterian churches within a radius of 20 miles. And God was pleased to fill the land with this vine. And it spread, and its witness has gone on. And we pray that God will visit this vine again and revive it, so that there may be the start of further outreach and further increase and a gathering in of precious souls in a time of gracious revival and an outpouring of the Spirit of God. You'll notice the psalmist also tells us in verse 11 this time that the vine spread her boughs unto the sea, and her branches unto the river. Verse 11. And in the biblical case, this would refer to the Mediterranean Sea, and probably the river that is referred to here would be the Euphrates. And there was a time at Israel's height of its prosperity, under Solomon, when the blessing of God was upon Israel, David and then Solomon, Israel's boundary spread. They spread to the Mediterranean Sea westward, and to the river Euphrates eastward, to the borders of Egypt southward, and to the north, to the borders of Lebanon. And God spread the vine, even to the across the waters, and to the rivers. God has done that for our denomination too. When we think of what God has done, the Free Presbyterian Church has sent our boys across the Atlantic Ocean. Across the ocean. It spread to Toronto, to Greenville, to Philadelphia, and then throughout all of Canada, and throughout all of the United States of America. And from this little province of Ulster, it went across to the mainland, England, Scotland, and Wales, further afield to Australia, and missionaries are sent to various countries including Spain and Kenya and Liberia and Uganda and the West Indies and Mexico, South America and Nepal. And I could go on. God has been pleased to spread the bow of the witness of the Free Presbyterian Church. We weren't a strong tree. The vine is not strong. It's a weakling type of shrub or tree or whatever you want to call it. It's a weakling. And without support, it would make its way down to the ground and fall upon the ground. And it would be overgrown with all kinds of weeds. And it would perish because it's not strong. Now, the Free Church is not strong. The Free Church needs to be upheld. It needs to be strengthened. And God is our strength. He's our refuge and our strength and a very present help in trouble. We can apply that to the denomination, even to the local congregation, and to the individual believer. God is our refuge and our strength and a very present help in trouble. The vine is not as strong as the oak, nor is it like the great palm, like the cedar of Lebanon. The cedars, the psalmist tells us, grow up tall and straight and strong, towering above all the other trees around. And God can do that for his people, make them strong and tall and straight, both morally and spiritually. Strong, tall, and straight. May God do that for all of us. And in these days of apostasy and of increasing wickedness all around us, and when sin has been legalized and foisted upon our people, and this week there will be the implementation of that wicked law passed in Westminster to make legal abortion, the murder of little children. Let's be straight about it. It's dressed up in fanciful language, with women's rights, with control over their own bodies, claiming to be this and that and the other thing. But friends, it's murder. It's the killing of the unborn child in the womb. That's wrong. The Bible says, thou shalt not kill. And that little fetus in the womb is a recognized human being with a soul and with a life. And anybody who argues against that is a wicked unbeliever, an emissary of the devil, a blasphemer of the truth. Thank God for that time of prayer. It was held yesterday in the church in Lisburn. It's the desire of all our hearts that God will answer prayer and frustrate the wickedness of mankind, throw confusion amongst them. Sodomy is a sin. It's an abomination in the sight of God. And it's been wickedly flaunted in our faces in all the cities and major towns of the country as they flaunt themselves before the people in their sin, in their shame, and in their depravity. We need leaders like Asa, who was king of Judah. What do we read about Asa? He drove the Sodomites from the land. We need men of conviction today. We need men with backbone and who will stand up and who will honor the truth. And yet these things, the Secretary of State, I don't have much time for him, but he's just given way to all the whims and fancies of wickedness. We need to pray that the Lord will visit us, don't we? Be earnest about it. Not just giving it lip service. Not giving it a passery moment. But concentrating and focusing upon it. And pleading, Lord, come down. Come amongst us. Come in power again. Visit this vine. Visit this church. Visit our denomination. Visit this individual. It starts with the individual. And may the Lord be pleased to do that for us. The strength of our denomination doesn't lie in the existence of its preachers. Some people might think that. Thank God we have men who love the Lord. We have men who love the Word. And men who expound the Word. Not minimizing that. That's a great blessing. But the strength of our denomination and our churches doesn't lie in men. No matter how good they are. It doesn't lie in the zeal of its elders either. Or of its oversight. Thank God for good born-again men who are upright and straight and moral and spiritual. But our strength doesn't come from men. It doesn't lie in the size of our congregations, whether they're large with hundreds and hundreds or just a handful. It doesn't lie there either. Our strength lies in the Lord. In the Lord. The Lord alone. And we have got to recognize that again. God is our strength. Without his help, the church and we ourselves would have vanished long ago. But we are thankful that though opposed by the enemies of Christ and the forces of darkness and all the powers of hell, we can still say with Paul, having therefore obtained help of God, we continue to this day, witnessing both to small and great. Thank God he has preserved the witness. But even so, we need a fresh visitation. We need the Lord to come, to stir us up. And the reason for the plea, visit this vine, stems from the fact that God's people are engaged in a battle. They're in a fight. Paul was able to say at the end of his life, I have finished my course, I have fought a good fight. And his life was a continual conflict. Conflict with sin. Conflict against the powers of darkness. And friends, we are engaged in the same fight today. We cannot and we will not be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease. That's what the hymn writer said, and it's true. At this stage in the 21st century, the battle is intensifying. It's increasing. Some have been scarred in the struggle. And my friends, to win souls for Christ, we must pull them from the very jaws of Satan. That's what evangelization is all about. That's what the preaching of the gospel is about. That's what winning souls is about. drawing out sinners from the very jaws of the lion. And Satan is a roaring lion. And you can't fight with a lion without being wounded, without being hurt, without blood being drawn. For a lion is a very fierce animal, trying to draw red, raw flesh out of his mouth. And we're trying to win souls from the jaws of hell, from the jaws of Satan. My friend, it's a battle. And there will be hurt as well as great blessing. And we have got to be able to stand in the fight and never to give in. We're waging war with Satan, and we're pressing the very battle to the gates. May God give us the victory day by day. Some have been scarred. Some have become weary in the fight. This battle causes weariness. And hence Paul's warning in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. He says, be not weary in well-doing. Don't be weary in well-doing. Sometimes the battle for truth is so intense that God's servants get tired of it. It's an ongoing thing, and they get tired and they want to lay down the sword and retire from the fight. Did you ever feel like that? But Paul encourages us with the further words of that same text. He says, in due season we shall reap if we faint not. In my retirement, as I move around the churches, I never had that chance before, but I'm so glad that the Lord has given me that opportunity. I find many people who work amongst the boys and girls becoming weary in well-doing. And thinking of sitting down and writing their letter of resignation to the minister. I've come across that more than once. And I just like to say to children's workers and Sabbath school teachers, be not weary in well-doing. And I have said before to others that I believe that children's work is one of the greatest tasks in the service of Christ. It is. You can do no better outreach than to reach the children. Think of our capital city, Belfast. For many years now, for generations, its children run wild round the streets. Ask them questions about the Bible. They know nothing about it. They're lost, boys and girls. Growing up into youth and into manhood, adulthood, without God, without Christ, without a knowledge of the Scriptures, blind, dead in trespasses and in sins, on the road to hell, on the road to a lost eternity, perishing forevermore. And how shall they hear unless they are taught? Thank God for our dedicated band of children's workers and Sabbath school teachers who teach faithfully week after week the boys and girls the truths of God's word. That's vital. That's important. And I say, stick at it. God will reward you, for in due season ye shall reap if ye faint not. God is the rewarder of those who faithfully serve him. The Christian must face reality, though. If the Church of Christ is to see God's blessing, it must be patient, and it must be faithful, and it must be surrendered unto the Lord. In the late 60s and 70s, again speaking of our denomination, and that's what I'm concerned about in these days, our people, our church, our denomination, Going back to the 60s and 70s, the Lord gave a gracious flow tide of blessing, didn't he? Congregations were springing up everywhere. Souls were being saved and God's people were excited. I know that. I experienced it in 1971. Shortly after I went to Lurgan, the church decided it was going to build a new building. And we had a tent mission on the site where that church is now built, on the Banbridge Road. A 900-seater tent. The Reverend McCrae as our evangelist. And for 3 weeks, day and night, people were coming to that tent. The atmosphere was such that nobody wanted to leave it. And all nights were spent in prayer and conversation, talking about the things of God. And 50 precious souls were born again. 8 of them were husbands and wives, 8 husbands and 8 wives. And all of those joined the church and are going on well with, some are called home now, but the rest are going on with the Lord. Those were days of heaven upon earth. And that's what we mean, and the psalmist means, Lord, visit this vine. Lord, visit us again. Come amongst us again, Lord. Yes, we have had that replicated a number of times since, but in a small way. But oh, for the floods on a thirsty land. Oh, for a mighty revival. Oh, for times of blessing from the presence of the Lord. Do you long for that? Is that the prayer of your heart? Is your soul bursting at the seams to see God moving that way again? I'm sure many of you can recall times like that. And we long to see it happen. Long to see it happen. God's servants need to be filled with the Spirit of God, with their eye upon the goal. You know, the enemy of souls is very ferocious, isn't he? He is described in the psalm in verse 13 as a wild boar. A wild boar. The wild boars have come into our province. And the wild boars want to tread down the vines. And they want to tread down the Free Presbyterian Church. And they want to tread down the witness of the gospel. They want to wipe it out and to destroy it. The wild boars, they come in. Oh, they come in. They come in. That's what verse 13 tells us. That these boars would trample and destroy the precious vine. You notice the enemy, he's also not only ferocious, but he's foxy. A foxy, sly old enemy. A sly old enemy appears as an angel of light, as well as a roaring lion. And he comes to deceive, also to destroy, but to deceive and to lead astray God's people. And I find it's very sad and heartbreaking when men and women and young people who have professed Christ and have known the Lord and shown signs of spiritual growth, and they turn aside into falsehood and to the charismatic movement. And again, I speak from experience from our own district. I see young people who've been brought up in the Free Presbyterian Church, went to the Sabbath school and the Young People's Fellowship, and today they're in the charismatic movement, hobnobbing with priests of Rome, sharing so-called conference meetings. And these are children of the church. And friend, I say all of that with a heavy heart, but it's real. We must face reality. It's real. And oh, there's a need for the Lord to visit the vine, to come amongst us again in mighty reviving power. He's not only ferocious and foxy, but he's sly. Isn't a fox a sly old animal? And he'll go round in circles till he dizzies the head of the chicken and it falls at his feet. And the old enemy, the devil, he goes around in circles and some people become dizzy and they fall at his feet. And they become his prey. And he just masters them according to his will. Oh, we need to be strong. We are not strong, we're weak, but we need God's strength. And when we're trusting in the Lord, we're proof against the falsehoods of the devil. We are. But in your own strength, you'll fall and you'll be weak. The enemy is fierce as well. He's fierce. But thank God, the Lord is with his people. You know, we need to follow the Bible, don't we? We need to study the Word and read the Scriptures and imbibe its truth and listen to its doctrines. And the very best food for every Christian and for their growth is the Bible, nothing else. That's why there's so much weakness amongst us today. It never ceases to amaze me how little of the Bible some Christians know. That's a tragedy. You see, where there's no food, there's no growth. And where there's little food, there's little growth. And where there's much food, there's much growth. Oh, have a good appetite. Ask the Lord to fill you with his truth. Ask the Lord to help you and to strengthen you. And the husbandman comes to the vine. He comes to prune away the dead wood. And if there's dead wood in your life, ask the great husbandman, Jesus Christ himself, to prune it away. It might hurt. It might cause pain. No amputation is painless. You're to get an arm removed or a leg taken off. It's not without its pain and its problem. But if it's cancerous with gangrene or whatever, you're better without it. And I tell you, the dead wood in your Christian life, you're better without it. And if it's painful to have it discarded and cut off, let the Lord do it. Let him amputate the dead wood and take it away. I was in Israel during the month of July. And we had the privilege of visiting a vineyard way down in the desert. And I noticed two things about that vineyard. I noticed that that vineyard was protected by a high fence to keep the deer out and the wild boars. It was protected. I noticed also that the clusters of grapes were covered in plastic bags to keep the fowls of the air away and insects from destroying it. My friend, the Lord is our protection. He has hedged a fence around us of his word, the gospel, the doctrines of grace, the privilege of meeting like this, not neglecting the assembling of ourselves together, and so much more. He has hedged all these walls, these defenses around us. The Lord has been so good. And he covers us to protect us from the wild boars and the wild birds, so that we're not destroyed. And the fruit dies, and the vine withers and falls to the ground. Lord, come, strengthen this vine. Lord, come protect us. Lord, protect each of us as individuals. Protect us as a church. Protect us as a denomination. Lord, come and protect our land and environment as well. And stop the wild boars and the wild insects from destroying the precious fruit, that we might bear fruit to his glory and to his honor and to the advancement of his kingdom.